Thursday, the 22nd of July, Yud Aleph Menachem Av, Rabbi David Kahn, Kitchen and Appliances on Holiday.
Oh, good morning. I'm not going to discuss about kitchens and appliances on holiday, but how to kasher the kitchens and appliances on holiday. There's not going to be very much in the way of Marim Makomis, because there's a tremendous amount of practical things that need to be discussed, and that'll probably take up all the time. But by way of introduction, just what we used to in our own kitchens, we used to our own kitchens during the year, and we used to our own kitchens for Pesach. Holiday is different to both of these two. On the one hand, between meat and milk, in our own kitchen, there's a kula, there's a heter of, well, not an entire heter, but a kula, a smif, lahokel, which is nut ba nut, which is no sintam ba no sintam. So if something happens in fleishik and milchik, again, this is not going to be a crash course on paskening all the shyness that can come in the kitchen, but in principle, there's such a concept that something is no sintam ba no sintam. If some meat gives flavour into a pot, and then afterwards, what happens is the pot is used to cook potatoes, for example, then the potatoes will have no sintam, ba no sintam. They will have flavour. The flavour they have of the meat is an indirect flavour. No sintam, ba no sintam. The Machaba says it's mutter. You could even eat it with milk. But the Ramah says that's how we paskin, that you can't. But it's a sniff. It's a sirv, and it's a sniff. And therefore, for example, those who use the same stove for milchik and for fleishik, as long as nothing's spilt over it and it's nice and clean as it is now, it is clean, then one can use the concept, therefore there are certain kulas. When it comes to Pesach, as we know, there's no concept of nut ba nut. We're not making nut ba nut. The Mechaba is, but the Ramah isn't. And therefore, that makes things much more difficult. In addition, on Pesach, we're also machmir, the Ramah is machmir, that even something which is an Eina Benyoimo, which is another concept, something hasn't been used for 24 hours, the mamoshes of food, it won't help. You can leave it forever long, it won't help. If it's tray for food, it's tray for food. But if it's only belias, if it's only bolua, absorbed in the kalim, then if it's Eina Benyoimo all year round, belias, Eina Benyoimo, are not, don't asr. Whereas when it comes to Pesach, the Ramah says that we treat it as Einu Ben Yom, as the same thing of Ben Yom, which brings a lot of the chumras of Pesach over here. When it comes to holiday, and we're dealing with a trefa kitchen, then we're dealing with Issa. We're not dealing with Heta. We're not dealing with Bosa between Bosa and Cholov. We're dealing with Tafas. With Tafas, there's no Heta of nut bar nut. So however indirect it is, even if you keep going on, nut ba nut ba nut ba nut, it'll always remain osa, but you do have the heta of Einu Ben Yoimo. So we're halfway in between, and therefore the dinim on holiday will be different to the Pesach, to our kitchens all year, and different to the din of Pesach kitchen, somewhere in the middle. So the first thing I want to tell you, as you walk into a kitchen, your holiday kitchen, you walk into this holiday house, the most important thing of everything is
cooker.
Sorry?
The cooker.
You know, I'm not even going to talk about a particular appliance. What is the most important, your aim as you walk into the kitchen? What is the most important thing? Make sure it's clean. Yeah. If you get rid of all mamoshes of the residue of food, be it bits of food remaining, be it grime, be it grease, often you feel, get rid of all of that. Then after that, our only shailas are shailas of things which are Eina Ben Yoimo. That's basically what you're left with. It's the most important thing, and what people often forget is the fridge. They think the oven, they think the worktops, they think about the stove on top, and they think about this and that, and the kettle, and everything else, and the microwave, and the toaster, and the sandwich maker, but they forget the fridge. And the fridge, in a way, is the most important. Because in the fridge, you put food directly, food that you're going to eat. You also put pots, possibly, in the fridge, that you're going to take out on holidays. Everyone's always short of kalium, so you might store things you've got in the pots, and then put them straight on the stove. So if the shelves of the fridge are greasy, And believe you me, they are. You feel them, you go to spaces, you go there, you feel them, the places, it looks wonderful, you start touching it and it's slimy and greasy and you have to clean the plate. Then you don't want to, the fridge needs cleaning, you just need to clean it with a bit of detergent and whether it's a paper towel, whether it's whatever, bring cleaning things along, clean these things properly, clean the surfaces down well, clean the stove, clean the enamel, and we'll go through the various items in the kitchen, Beis Hashem, one by one. I would say, by the way, let's deal with the fridge first. I would say that it's not kedai to put food directly onto the fridge surfaces, right? And I include also not putting pots directly on the fridge surfaces unless you're absolutely sure that you've done a super-duper job such that everything is absolutely spotless. The freezer, let's go to the freezer and then we'll move on from there. The freezer, unless the freezer, generally speaking, we don't put things, food, directly in the freezer. It's always in a bag. And therefore, in the freezer, there's very little problem. All that I can identify as being something to watch out for is, again, the handles outside of the fridge and the freezer. You wouldn't believe it, but often you find that they're greasy and there's residue of food there. So here you are, your wife or you, you're trying to help to prepare food, and you get all the grime and the grease on your hands, and then you go and you take the food out afterwards. Clean the outside. Well, it doesn't have to get neurotic about it. Just take a sponge or something with some detergent on it, wipe it down, clean it down, make sure that there's no residue of food or grease. Now, let's go on now to worktops, stoves, ovens, etc. Worktops. So let's take the simplest worktop is normally the cheapest worktop that you find. That I'm not talking about granite ones. The normal worktops that you find are chipboard, covered with melamine, covered with a type, it's type of a plastic. That's what it is. Our worktops we always used to have, the surface that you've got here on these tables, it's melamine, it's a plastic. And now the question is the following. Can you kasher plastic? For Pesach, we definitely pass and you can't kasher plastic. But all year round, there's a machlokes. There's a machlokes haposkim about it. Some say you can't kasher plastic because we know that cheres you can't kasher. We know that metal you can kasher. We know that glass is a whole different discussion. We know that wood in principle can be kashered. But what is plastic? You won't find plastic anywhere in the Torah. You won't find it in the poskim. When was plastic discovered? Not so long ago. So what's the din of plastic? So some say that we don't know. Maybe it's like cheres that you can't kasher. Others take the view, and this view is taken by Dain Weiss, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha, and by Rav Tzvi Weber Shlitzer, one of the big poskim in Yerushalayim today, and they paskim that plastic can be kashered. The chiddush in the Torah is that cheres can't be kashered. Really, even when it comes to food, we would paskim efshel l'seichta is mutter, but me'ikar din, but when it comes to all materials, and there's nothing as absorbent as food, and therefore cheres is the special chiddush of the Torah. The Torah's told us cheres. We know what cheres is. Anything else that isn't cheres, you can kasher. So many paskim. Again, since this shear is across northwest London shear, and each and every person will have. Almost, it's getting to the stage where each and every person has their own shul and their own rov, right? It's a discussion for another time. But therefore, I'm not certain things which are dependent upon a machlokes. I'm not going to be machria for you. Some say you can kasher plastic. Some say you can't. In principle, I don't think you need to kasher the work surfaces if you don't want to. You don't need to kasher them. You need to clean them very well indeed and not put anything down hot. Directly on them. We'll come back to that a little bit later. If you do want to kasher, you can kasher it by using a kettle. Bring your own kettle along, because we'll discuss kettles, and pour boiling hot water. Once you're sure it's clean, pour boiling hot water over it. I'm loath to pour boiling hot water over the worktops of holiday houses that we go to, because I don't want to ruin their units. So you come to a situation where you're trying to be machmir, to try to this and that and the other, in a way that you can organize yourself in a way that, where kasher is perfectly okay, and you've got a serious shaila of mazik. Yeah, you're a mazik. So if you do kasher, you've got to know how to do it by putting bin bags in the correct places over the cupboard doors such that the water doesn't go into the cupboards. It's a ganze melacha. If you don't want to clean them well and cover them over is a far better way of dealing with it. And bring along a couple of cork boards or boards to be able to put down hot pots on them, in which case you have no further problem. Everything is cleaned, even if the covering should tear. There's no mamoshes of food underneath. You're not putting anything down on. And in that way, your worktops are sorted out without pouring water all over the place. I'll also mention, behind the worktops, and this goes for, by the way, round the stoves, don't forget to clean the tiles. The tiles are often also laden with the residue of food, of grease and grime. And again, if you've got a hot pot that you're going to put down on the surface and it touches the back of it and you feel it's all greasy, You don't need a shiner like that, especially not on a holiday when your resources are limited as to what you can do about it. So therefore, clean the back. Again, don't go sugar with it. Just take a rag with some detergent on it and wipe everything. Wipe the tiles down behind any surfaces that might come in contact with food or with hot pots. That's as far as worktops are concerned. By the way, just for completeness, granite. There are two types of granite worktops. If you go to a place where they are granite, granite is stone. Stone can be kashered, but there are two types. There's composite granite, where it's made of little pieces of stones glued together, in which case the glue is the same as the plastic. What is glue? Is it cheres? Is it not cheres? You come to the same question. Can you kasher composite granite? It's lechoira the same as can you kasher plastic. But if it is complete pure granite, as it is, just one slab, that is stone, it can be kashered, but again, you've got the same question, do you want to pour boiling hot water all over the place in somebody else's kitchen, if you can manage quite happily otherwise. But that's just, if you want a kasher, granite is perfectly okay. The stoves, let's go on now to stoves. Again, the main thing is, clean them well. We'll go on to different types of stoves. Whether it is gas stoves, whether it's electric stoves, whether it is ceramic stoves, clean the surface as well. The enamel, if it's a gas, we'll go through them one by one. Don't forget to clean the knobs well. From experience, you think you cleaned it beautifully, and you touch these knobs, and they're absolutely dripping with grease from previous thing. Again, I'm not talking about a particularly dirty place. Even the place that walks in, it looks spick and span. I can assure you that these areas will not have been cleaned. The stove, often the knobs, so wipe down the knobs, again, with detergent. You're going straight from your hands from eating to chopping up food to putting it into the pot. That's the type of thing, again, remember the knobs. Now, different types of stoves. Electric stoves, the simplest ones, the electric rings that go red hot, the spiral rings, those are in the way the easiest to kasher. You turn it on for a few minutes, and that's all you need to do. There's a ring round it, a metal ring which is attachable, which comes off. You clean it well, and if you want to, you can cover it with silver foil, but in principle, the main thing is it's perfectly clean. The ceramics around, make sure that's perfectly clean. Again, and then anything else, if it should overspill, we can rely on Eino Ben Yoimoi. It'll be Eino Ben Yoimoi, and it's not going to trafer your pots. But if there's grease there and it spills over, then that's a whole different story. So that's got to be well cleaned. Gas stoves. So again, the grates, the pan supports, those need to be thoroughly cleaned. If you want a shortcut to thoroughly cleaning them, if you bring some pliers with you, you could just turn the flame on and move it round bit by bit. That will certainly clean it off beautifully, burn off any grease. Careful if there's a lot of grease so it doesn't catch fire. But in principle, turn it round and then that'll clean it well. But still, I would still advocate for cleaning the bits that the fire comes out of. Clean them also, wipe them down, make sure there's no... If a spoon falls onto them, you don't want to have a serious shiner. Once you've cleaned there, the gas bits and also the ceramic underneath, the bottom, the base of the stove, again, if anything falls down onto it, you won't have any shiner at all, and there's no problem. By the way, I'll also add, those who are used to having a fleischig and milchig separate hobs, and you come on holiday, and you find that you've only got one, which you will do, you've got to remember to be careful as well with fleischigs and milchigs. If, for example, you're frying schnitzel on the hob and it spits all over the place, afterwards you want to put a milchig pot down, you've got to clean the pan supports well. And you're not used to it, maybe, because maybe we have the luxury of having separate stoves and different parts of the kitchen. You never have it. On a holiday, the milchiks and fleishiks, our own milchiks and fleishiks, will be close together. My father always used to warn us when we were cleaning up for Pesach, remember, we still got to keep the place kosher, even though we're cleaning for Pesach. So here's the same sentiment. You got rid of the tafas, but make sure that you don't create any of your own in the process. When it comes to ceramic hobs is glass. Glass, the main psak is that glass is not boilea at all. For Pesach purposes, we Ashkenazim paskin, that glass is like cheres. But the main consensus opinion, the main stream psak in Klal Yisrael is that glass, l'chol yemois hashono, is not boilea at all. And therefore, ceramic hob, clean it well, you need to do nothing more than that. Clean it well. But one warning about ceramic hobs is, you can't put a blech on top of it. You're going to be there for Shabbos, you can't. If you do, you most likely have a smashed ceramic hob. It'll crack, the glass is not made for it, because the blech didn't reflect the heat. So therefore, you've got to think about something in terms of Shabbos. Either bring along a hot plate with you, or be prepared before Shabbos that, number one, all the food that you're going to put on is mavushal kol tzorkei, is perfectly cooked. So for cholent, if you're used to putting on the cholent, that it's sort of semi-cooked or not cooked at all, and you leave it there all night to simmer, so then in such an instance, you can't do it without a blech. You can't do it without a blech. The other thing is, if you're used to serving the same thing for Friday night and Shabbos lunch, half for Friday night, half for Shabbos lunch, you can't do chazorah, you can't put it back without a blech. So if you don't have a blech, it's not the end of the world, but you've got to know those two rules, that whatever you put on must be mavushal kol tzorkei, and the other thing is, you cannot put it back again once you've taken it off. Otherwise, you could manage happily without a blech if need be. But, sorry?
Use an oven tray, the tray will spoil over it, it's not a capital.
Again, I don't know, but all I can tell you is, sorry? You mean the ceramic hob that you did it on, the glass didn't crack? It's not meant for it, so I can't take a chrys for that. All I can tell you is it's not meant, they're not meant for it. They're not meant for it. Sorry? Absolutely. Why should I, what's it called? What I'm telling you, I'm giving you an eitzah where you don't have to land yourself up in a very unpleasant situation where you're at the landlord's mercy for having smashed the glass of the ceramic hob. Who needs it? Who needs it? So for Shabbos, either bring a hot plate or manage without a blech.
If you do with the chonim, you can't take it off, then you can't pull it off.
No. You must take anything out. Correct. So it means that the chonim that you've got is chadpami. You can only use it once, right? So you either have your chonim Friday night or you have it Shabbos morning. You can't have it both. So that's it. Unless you make two chonims. Make two chonims, yes? Sorry? Yes? You can't put it back. You mustn't put it back aloesh. There's an ism chazorah aloesh unless you've got a blech. Alright? A zim of chazorah. So even if it's a vushel kol tzorkei, a zim of chazorah, shem yechatz. But one of the conditions of chazara is that you need a blech. Yeah, that's an important thing. For shahiyah, you don't need a blech unless it's not mavushal. Unless it's not mavushal, yes. But unless it's not mavushal, sorry. As long as the bushel kol tzorkei, yes, as long as the bushel kol tzorkei, you can do that. But otherwise, you can't even do that. But we're talking if it's a bushel kol tzorkei, then you can put it back as long as you have das, and you're still holding on to it lechatzchila. But the eved, as long as you've got, you need a blech. Yes, the only to be odd in this, whatever we might be making if you forget. But if you haven't got a blech, you can't put it back. So therefore, if you're going to use a ceramic stove without, you need to know those two rules. It's going to be mushuk or tzolkai, and you cannot put it back.
Yeah. Is it possible a ceramic is a covered flame?
It's not covered, because that's the way it's made to cook. You're right. But in the same way as you could say an electric hob is also a covered flame. Some of them, you don't even see the glowing. It just comes, it's there. But since that, it's all part and parcel of a cooking apparatus. And therefore, it counts as not. By the way, an oven is also considered an area without a blech, even though you don't see the elements. Yes, this is the grill. But they're behind the units often. So therefore, nonetheless, that is the way it is. That's the way you cook. And therefore, it's uncovered. You need to be moisive, add something that's not normally there. Correct, correct. So that's ceramics, that's gas stoves, and that's electric stoves. Let's move on to ovens. Ovens, lefi ani yastaiti, nowadays, ovens don't get hot enough to kasher them. They don't. I've tried it. In order to kasher an oven, you need at least libun kal. We'll come along to tray for ovens in a moment. Libun kal you need, we'll come to that in a minute as well. Libun kal you need, and I've tried it with a piece of paper, which is more combustible than a straw. And I've tried it in a gas oven with a burning flame, and it didn't even get brown. So our ovens get to 230 degrees Celsius, no more. I'm not talking about the pyrolytic. Pyrolytic is okay, but the non-pyrolytic ovens don't get hot enough to kasher. In practice, you can't kasher them. And therefore, if you want to use the oven, you still can use the holiday oven. Number one, you've got to clean it well. Clean it through round well. Number two, after that, what I would say is use whatever you put in there, you've got to cover it. Not double cover it, we'll come in a moment. Not double cover it, a single covering. I don't know why people talk about double covering. A double covering is only necessary for an airline meal, for example, where they're heating up trefa food and kosher food together. That if something should spill out of the trefa meals and they should come into contact with the kosher meal, then if it's only singly covered, so it's going to come up against the kli, which is holding your kosher meal, and in which case the blius will go through. But if you've got double wrapped, meaning that you've got, as they have, a silver foil envelope, then it means that the liquid, there's still a dry area, barrier, between the inside of the envelope and the outside of your meal container, in which case the blius cannot move through a dry medium. It needs to be wet. And that's why you double wrap. In such an oven, where, let's say this is a trefa oven, you cannot kasher it, but you've got rid of all marmoshes, I would suggest the following. If you get a shallow disposable aluminium tray, or a couple of them, put them on top of the shelves, and then put whatever you want to, put your own kalim in there, no problem at all, but cover them over with silver foil, or if it's a casserole dish, with a lid. That will suffice, that's enough. What are we worried about in such an oven? We're worried about steam, zeo. Zeo will create a connection between the oven, the walls of the oven, even though they're perfectly clean, and even though it's Eino Ben Yoimoi, but lechatchila we do not rely on Eino Ben Yoimoi, and therefore, unlike the stove, where when you're putting the pot down onto the pan supports, you're not intending it to boil over. If it did boil over, b'diavad you're okay, but that isn't the process of cooking, therefore that will suffice. When it comes to the oven, though, that is, if you leave it uncovered, there will be zeo. And even if it's baking bread or baking cakes, there's a huge amount of water driven off. And those of you who have double ovens will notice often, if the seal isn't so tremendous, you'll see a huge amount of water condensing in the inside of the upper door, glass door. You'll see a tremendous... If you weigh the bread before, weigh it after, you see just how much water has been driven off. And therefore, if we cover it over, there's no zeo, in which case you'll be alright. But of course, the disadvantage of this means that you can't bake bread or cakes when you're on holiday. It means that you can't roast and brown chicken if you want to, as you would do it open, so that you get it to brown. But you have to cover it over either with a casserole lid or with silver foil in order to make sure that the zeo doesn't go up. Otherwise, you can use the oven as normal. There are those who want to be makel and say that you can kasher ovens nowadays because you've got kabola kachpoto, it gets as hot as it normally does and therefore it's alright. But I would certainly hasten to say that when you're talking about isura bola, these ovens have absorbed issa. The din is that you need libun chomor, and we're going to come to this. It's not just good enough kabola kachpoto, you need or until it becomes red hot. And that you're not going to have. And therefore, certainly, again, by all means, ask your rabbonim, whoever you normally ask. But as far as I'm concerned, these ovens cannot be kashers, but you can still use them as long as you clean them and cover them over. And I would advocate for using a silver foil thing just to make sure that it doesn't sit directly on the shelves in case there's anything that you've missed. That's as far as ovens are concerned. Good. Let's go on to microwaves. Yes? microwaves, I think, if you A, clean it well, if you B, kasher it with a glass of water, with a glass of water, by putting a glass of water in, let it bubble and let it get clean. C, you cover over what you, whatever you use, yes, and of course you clean the microwave well inside. I think you can use a microwave, a tray for microwave. I think that that is in order, but the most important thing, what I told you, is to cover it over. That's the most, with cellophane, whatever it is, sometimes you have microwave containers with a lid, or if not, you can use cling film to cover it over. As long as it's sealed, covered over, it has the same thing as an oven, there'll be no zeya, it won't come into contact with anything else, and again, by all means, if you want to put some polystyrene plate or something underneath it, so it doesn't come in contact with a glass plate, again, glass isn't bolea, I'm not so worried, as long as it's absolutely spotless clean, then you could use it. But again, the normal warning of the poskim is not to use the same microwave for fleishik and milchik. Still applies when you're on holiday. There won't be two microwaves there, that's for sure. And therefore, don't use both for milchik and for fleishik. You're asking for trouble. We're relying here that it's eina ben yomoy, and therefore we'll be soneh on it. Sometimes the cellophane will come off, the lid will come off, things will splash. If the teenagers have got access to this microwave, there'll be everything all over the place, and therefore you certainly don't want to use it either for milchik or for fleishik, as long as it's perfectly cleaned. Kettles. In theory, it should be alright, because a kettle's only used for boiling water. But sometimes these places that you see, especially if you go to places where they've had students there, so the kettle is somehow, you look at the ceiling, you see what's there, you don't wonder what must have hit the kettle if you see what was on the ceiling. So if you therefore, I would personally say, I think you could go to one of these cheap shops, you could buy a kettle for under £5, buy yourself, do yourself a favour, buy yourself a holiday, treat yourself to a holiday kettle. Well, it's unlikely that the £5 is going to be a very significant expense of your holiday. Get yourself a kettle, you buy it once, you have it for 20 years, that's the kettle you use, take it with you. If you need to kasher, you've got it, tovel the kettle, leave it for plenty of time to dry out before you use it, and there you are, you've got it, you've got your kettle, you don't need to use any of these things. The same I'll say with these toaster ovens, you'll find they're often filthy and a horrendous mess to clean. If you want to clean it, the same deal is true as an ordinary oven. Dishwashers. Dishwashers, I'll say is the following. Dishwashers, am I running out of time? Dishwashers are the following. I would say nut bar nut is still osser, even if it's cleaned thoroughly, and you might say the soap makes pogum, and then you might say it's eina ben yomo as well. Maybe, ulai, again, I'm not very keen on it, and I wouldn't use it myself or advocate other people to use it. You've probably got disposables anyway. Wash it up what you need to wash up, and leave the dishwashers alone. That's what I would advocate. Yes, with ach and krach, you could probably get there, but you have something upon whom to rely. But again, you've got to make sure dishwashers clean and emptied of all residue of previous food. But I wouldn't advocate it for it. Toasters and sandwich makers is an absolute absolute no-no, because they have been boilea issa, dry issa. When the issa, both issa and its dry issa, in other words, not a liquid, then you need libun chomor. So basically, tell me how you do libun chomor for a sandwich maker, I'll tell you, buy a new one. And the same is true with a toaster. So in practice, you can't...
You can put on, hold it down, it gets red hot.
It does get red hot, it's true. Some of the elements get red hot over there. But the actual metal pieces, yes, that the toast is going to sit down, yes, the bread is going to go down on, have a look, that doesn't get red hot. The elements across it get red hot. And you've got other parts of it that your toast will touch, which doesn't get red hot at all. And therefore, you're asking for trouble. Again, some of the bread may not be trefa, but some of it may, yes, be trefa. So we have to assume that it's had tarfus at some stage of the game, and therefore I would say very much so that, again, toasters, if you're desperate for a toaster, bring your own toaster, and otherwise don't use their toasters. That's what I think is the... It doesn't really get hot enough. Sorry? Sinks is the last thing that I want to mention, is sinks and draining boards. sinks and drain boards, just clean the sinks well. You don't need to do more than that. Clean the sinks well, clean the taps well, and the knobs well of the taps. Clean them well. After that, there's no problem at all. If you want to do washing up, either wash it under the tap or wash it in a bowl. I don't think there's any problem. The draining board, clean that down well as well. Make sure there's no grease, no grime. Again, don't put anything down directly on these surfaces. If you want to put something hot down on the draining board, kasher it with boiling water. Make sure it's perfectly clean first, and then kasher it. If I could just one, two more things, and that is dishcloths. Someone asked me, dishcloths, and can use their dishcloths if they're perfectly clean for cold dishes to dry them up. I don't see there's any issa if they're well laundered, but for hot things, certainly taking things out of the oven, bring your own oven gloves and things, don't use their things. When it comes to their kalim, don't use them at all. Wood can in theory be kashered, in practice it's full of grooves and you can never get everything out, and therefore make sure that the kalim that are there when you arrive are well put away such that it cannot be mistakenly used in any shape or form by any well-meaning helper in the kitchen. And leave it this. Glasses is like this. If the glasses are perfectly clean and you want to use them for cold, in theory you can. And in practice you can. For hot is like this. For hot teas, again, the main psak is that glass is not boleh at all. There are those, the Mogen Avraham, for example, pastures, the glass is boleh, but it's just like metal. And that's it. Therefore, I would say, to use tray for cups for tea that they may have used for, if they've only used them for tea, I don't see there's an issa. But if there's any chashash they've used them for issa, I think that there is a mokum to be choshish for the Mogen Avraham.
They're having tea, they're having a sandwich.
Sorry?
When they make the tea, they're eating a sandwich at the same time.
Well, they'll do it. Sometimes they'll do bofra, sometimes they'll put bofra in them. Is there any chashash to that? And that's it. Have a nice holiday.